Well, let's get started. Amen. It's been a while since I've been up here. I know last week somebody said something to me and I said I was like a caged cat. You know, I'm ready to get out, ready to share what the Lord has been laying on my heart. But turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. The video that we had today shared a little bit about that, but we are in November already. It's hard to believe. You know, the leaves are falling, the temperatures are falling. It's that time of year where we begin to prepare for Thanksgiving Day, a holiday that we celebrate, and it's come to include a lot more than what it was originally intended to be. Amen. It's, you know, we got all kinds of football games and people get together, and it's a great time for families to come together and to share a meal. But it was intended when it started to be a rendering of thanksgiving to God. Amen. In 1623, Governor William Bradford of the Plymouth Colonies made this proclamation. He said, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that you, pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since you pilgrims landed on Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to your pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings." Amen. To render unto Almighty God for all his blessings. Thanksgiving, it shouldn't just be a day. Thanksgiving should be every day. I mean, as we get ready to celebrate in 18 days, I know that sounds crazy, but it is 18 days. We just need to reflect and take that time to reflect on what we have to be thankful for. Everyone in here has things to be thankful for. Amen? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines thanksgiving as the act or the giving of thanks, a prayer expressing gratitude, a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness, kindly or grateful thoughts. Here, turn with me, if you would, there to Psalm 100. Hopefully you're there. But Psalm 100, 4 and 5. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." That's the New American Standard. Hallelujah. Amen. The New Living Translation reads, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." In this scripture, we see three areas or three things that every one of us can be thankful for. That should have had an amen there.
Amen.
Every one of us have things to be thankful for, regardless of what's going on in our lives. The goodness of God, the steadfast mercy or the love of God, and the faithfulness of God. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This morning, we're going to spend time looking at the fact that the Lord is good. Amen? The Lord is good. From the very beginning of the Bible, we see that everything that God spoke into being and everything that He created, it was good. Toward the end of the chapter 1, we see that God created male and female. He blessed them and He told them to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then He told them in verse 29 and 31 what He had given them. Genesis 1, 29 through 31 says, "Then God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw that all He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." It wasn't just good, it was very good. Amen? God is not one who does things halfway or just good enough. His creation is extraordinary. The universe is extraordinary. The earth, the sun, and the moon, and how all of that works perfectly together is extraordinary. The Garden of Eden was extraordinary. Amen? And He gave it to mankind to keep it and to guard it and to enjoy it. Right from the very first chapter of the Bible, we see the goodness of God exhibited in His interaction with mankind. Now, the Hebrew word for good that's used here is the word tobe. It means good. It means beautiful. It means best. It means better. It means bountiful. It means favor. It means kindly, most pleasant, pleasure, prosperity, wealth, welfare. Used for all those things. Nowhere in there is it any connotation of anything that's bad. Amen? Everything that God seen was good. Everything that God is good. It's the same word that we read in the book of Psalms, the 100th chapter, for the Lord is good. It's the same word. God is beautiful. He's bountiful. He's good. It's goodly or goodliest. Goodly, God, goodness, gracious. God is that way. Amen? This word is used 559 times in the Old Testament. 361 times it's used for good. Then it's used for better, well, goodly, best, merry, prosperity, wealth. All kinds of different things where it's used. Look at James chapter 1. God being good isn't only just a Old Testament truth. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning." Praise the Lord. God is the source of all good. Everything that He created was very good. He gives good gifts. He gives perfect gifts. Amen? Nowhere in all of Scripture is God pictured as miserly or Scrooge-like. That's a lot of people's view of who God is, though. Amen? Or as a getter. Instead, everywhere that you read about in the Word of God, God is a giver. He's always giving. Amen? And we were created as receivers. Amen? Receivers. God takes pleasure in giving. He's never stingy. There's people that have the thought that when they pray, they hope that God's going to be in a good mood and that He'll grant their request. That's not how God is. God is good. We can be thankful. This day and every day and Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day and Easter, whenever, whatever, a Monday in the middle of July, we can be thankful that God is good. All the time. Amen? Look at Psalm 23:6. Psalm 23:6. Psalm 23:6. We sang this song this morning about His goodness is running after me. You need to envision that. Amen? Because it says here in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the same word, tobe. Surely God's goodness and God's mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Amen. You don't have to hunt for it. It's not hidden. It's following after you. Turn around and let it catch you.
Amen.
Amen. Stop for a minute and let the goodness of God invade your life and come into your life. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We have this scripture on the back of our t-shirts. If you have a t-shirt, Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us some things? A few things. Nope. All things. You know what that word all means?
All,
yeah, very good, brother. You right on it, man. All, He's given us all things. The Message paraphrase says, so what do you think, with God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Whew. Puts it in an entirely different perspective. You're one of God's chosen. You're one of God's called. Amen? He's made available to you everything. That's, He says in here, He's made available to you. Is He made available that you can win the lottery? No, it's not in here. But He will meet all of your needs.
Amen.
Amen? When you get hooked up with God, see, that's the difference between there's people that have lottery faith and people that have real faith.
Yeah.
Amen? Lottery faith, you're not basing anything on other than just hopes and wishes and whatever. Godly faith is based on what God's Word says and the promises to you. He's given it to you. Amen? God chose willingly to make a great sacrifice on your behalf by giving His own Son for each and every one of us. God did that. The Word says that He did that while we were still separated from God. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If He went to those great costly lengths already, how can we not believe and be confident in the fact that He will give us everything that we could possibly need? Just think about that for an instant. If you sacrifice one of your children in order to get somebody out of a jam that they were in, which I couldn't even imagine doing that, then would you be stingy and try to withhold anything else from him because you're trying to teach him a lesson? No. Amen? A.W. Tozer said this, "With the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favored of all creatures." Amen? The goodness of God desires our highest welfare. The wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it. All you have to do is ask and trust and then receive. Amen? Because He'll bring it to pass. You ever tried to work things out and bring it to pass on your own? Don't work so good, does it? When you sit back and trust God and allow Him to move and allow Him to work in your life, things will change. As we edge closer to the Thanksgiving holiday, we need to think about that truth that God, in His goodness, has a plan for you, and through His power, He will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible reveals through His word the goodness of God as it relates to each of us individually. All the things that the Lord gives us are a manifestation of His goodness. He has our best interest at heart. He chooses to give. He doesn't force anything on us. But the thing is, we're not out of line when we pray for something that we need and expect God to move. We're just operating according to His word, according to His goodness. Look at Psalm 86:5. Psalm 86:5. Everybody doing okay this morning? Psalm 86:5. God is good. For the Lord, or verse 5, 86:5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon thee." The Amplified Version says, "For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. And you are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon you." We can be thankful this morning that God is a forgiving God. Amen. If we confess our sins, the word says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to believers.
Amen.
Amen. We can be thankful for His forgiveness. Walk in that forgiveness. When someone asks and needs forgiveness, God, because He is good, gives them complete and lasting forgiveness. You don't have to beg for forgiveness. wail and cry and do all these other things, try to earn forgiveness. God says, ask me for it. And God in his goodness will forgive you and wipe the slate clean. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he moved your transgressions from you.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. He's good. Amen. When somebody needs healing, God gives. When someone needs peace, God gives. Amen. When someone needs something financially, God gives. People say, well, I don't deserve anything from God. I'm just a poor, rotten, dirty sinner. No, you're not. That's not what the Word said. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you've invited Him in to become the Lord of your life, the Word of God says that you are the righteousness of God through faith in Him. You're in right standing with God. You can boldly approach the throne room of grace and find help in time of need. Whatever you have need of, you can go to Him and say, Father, I need this. I need peace. Father, I need this. And trust Him that because of His goodness, not because you deserve it, none of us deserve anything. That's the whole point. Amen. We'll get into that next week about the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God. None of us deserve anything. But God, praise the Lord, does not give us things because we deserve them. He gives them to us because He's good. And it's in His very nature to give. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, praise the Lord, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 2 Timothy 1:9, I'm sorry. 1:9. He saved us and called us, not according to our works, or what we have done, but according to His own purpose and grace, given us in Christ. Praise the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 8. Psalm 107, verse 8. It says, let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men, for He has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He has filled with what is good. That same word, tobe, right there. Filled you. He's taken out all the old stuff and put new stuff in. Amen. Got rid of all the bad stuff, that old sinful nature, and give you a new heart and a new spirit. Praise God, because He's good. Thomas Merton said this, to be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything He has given us. And He has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of His love. Every moment of existence is a grace, for it brings with it immense graces from Him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to praise of the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good not by hearsay, but by experience. And that is what makes all the difference. Hallelujah. Experiencing the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. You know, I've shared this many times over the past few months and maybe longer, and then I shared it again the other night at our leadership training that, you know, being a pastor, getting up here and ministering and sharing and studying the Word, it isn't just get up here to teach people something. It's getting up here to share the Word of God, to share the life-changing goodness of God with people because I've experienced it in my life. And the Word of God says that He's not a respecter of persons, that if He did it for me, that He will do it for you. Yes. Amen? Yes. The goodness of God. I mean, I've shared many times, my life, our marriage was a mess. Our finances were a mess. I was a mess. Amen? But when I came down, right down here, and made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life on February the 8th, 1984, God changed it. Changed me. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. From that day forward, it wasn't all just roses and everything was all perfect. There were struggles. Amen? There was wrestling with faith. There was developing faith. But I knew that something had changed. And over the years, God in His goodness has been poured out in my life and in my family's life. Amen? So when I get up here and preach about the goodness of God, it's not just some philosophy. I'm preaching from experience. I'm sharing. And many of you sitting here, that over the years, since you started coming here, I've told you time and time again to trust God, believe God, just stay with it. Don't give up, because God has good things in store for you. Why? Because God is good. Amen. And God has a good plan for your life. God wants to take where you're at and transform that whole situation and bring you into another place that you can only imagine. Amen. Amen? That's what... I mean, I don't have to get up here and preach every Sunday. I don't have to do... You know, there's all kinds of different things you could do. But the fact of the matter is that God's called me to do what He's called me to do. And I'm going to preach about the goodness of God. I'm going to preach about the hope of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because I've experienced. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't care what you're going through this morning. You just need to get hooked up with God and believe God and just keep believing God that things are going to change. Amen? Why do you say that? Because they will. How do you know that? I know it from personal experience. Many of you sitting out here have experienced the same thing. That God has taken you and He's brought things into your life and you're like, wow. Amen? Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Everlasting consolation or eternal comfort, or the Phillips translation says, unending encouragement. Hallelujah. You know? You say, well, I just don't know about all that stuff. Well, just stick around. Amen? Stay hooked up with God. The word used for consolation here is the word paraclesis. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, he called him the paraclete in John chapter 14, verse 16. It's consolation. It's encouragement. He's given us that through his word and through the Holy Spirit. We should be constantly encouraged. Amen? No place for us as believers to be downtrodden. Yeah, there's going to be days when you're not going to feel like, oh, everything's just on top of the world. The enemies, we live in a fallen world. We're going to face attacks from the enemy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try to steal your joy. He's going to try to steal your hope. He's going to try to steal people from around you from encouraging you. Amen? I'm here this morning to encourage you to be thankful for the goodness of God. Why? Because you get into the Word, you go into prayer, you spend time worshiping God, you're going to get encouraged. Amen? We don't just sing songs here just to sing some songs and say, oh, we're done. We did our three songs or four. We sang four songs this morning. Woo! We don't just sing songs just to sing songs. We sing songs so that you can be encouraged, so that you can enter into the presence of God, so that your soul can be encouraged and lifted up. Amen? We don't just do it out of a ritual. Pastor Karen's very intentional about the things that we sing. And they go, have you ever noticed how most of the time, she doesn't know what I'm preaching on. She might ask me Wednesday, she asked me, what are you preaching on so I can get a sermon video? And I said, we're talking about Thanksgiving. Psalm 100, my main scripture. I didn't tell her that. It's just what happened. Amen? God, the same thing that happens downstairs. We were talking about experiencing God downstairs this morning. A little bit. We didn't get into a great deal. But you have experienced the goodness of God. And if you haven't experienced the goodness of God, stick around and you will. That's the message this morning, because he is the paraclete. The entire word of God is a paraclesis. It's to encourage us. It's to bring hope into our lives. Amen? The reason many people do not experience the goodness of God in their life is because they don't know that it's available to them. People are downtrodden. People don't get saved because they're unaware of what Jesus has done for them. People live in defeat. They live in lack. They live in fear because they don't know what Jesus has done for them. You get into the Word. Find out God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He tells us many times to fear not. The only thing we're supposed to fear is that's reverence of God. We're not supposed to fear life. We're not supposed to fear circumstances. We're not supposed to fear what's going on in our country. We're to be encouraged and say, you know what? Doesn't matter. My God is able. My God is well able. Amen? Hallelujah. We can be thankful that the Lord not only has given us encouragement, but he's given us hope. There in 2 Thessalonians. Hope is not just a granted wish or a favor performed. Hope is an exciting, unpredictable dependence on God who loves to confirm his word. He tells us many places in the word to hope. You say, well, Pastor Will, you're always exuding and telling people to hope. What about get their hopes up? That's what I'm trying to do, is get their hopes up. Amen. Get your hopes up. Hope in who your God is. Hope in the Word of God. That's what biblical hope is. It's a confident expectation. It has nothing to do with you and how your performance is. It has everything to do with you serve a good God, and you're placing your hope in what He said, and you're encouraging yourself according to the Word. Amen? We can be thankful for that. Glory to God. Romans 15:13, the Amplified Version, says, "May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope." I love that version. Amen. You should be so full of hope that when you walk by people, it just falls on them, flips over on them. Amen. What was that? Something different about us. We're to be thankful that our God is not a God of despair. He's not the God of doom and gloom. He's the God of encouragement and the God of hope, and He wants you to be bubbling over in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Get your hope up. The enemy wants people to be depressed. He wants people to remain removed from other people. He doesn't want you to be around people who are going to encourage you, people that are going to speak life into your situation, people that are going to bring hope into your situation. I don't know how God's going to do it. I just know that He is going to do it. Amen. He gave us the story of Abraham for hope. He gave us the Bible for hope. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. The Message paraphrase of Acts 10:38 reads like this. You know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee after John preached a total life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country, helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do this because God was with him. That word good there in the Greek is to do good, to bestow benefits. Jesus went about doing good, benefiting people, healing people, setting people free, because He's a good God. Amen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll close with this scripture. Just want to encourage you today to just thank God for His goodness as we go through. 2 days getting ready for Thanksgiving. Develop, if you're not doing it already, develop a mindset of thanksgiving every day. Amen? I mean, Pastor Karen and I routinely thank God for all the blessings that He's bestowed upon in our life. Routinely. Many times before we even bless our food, we're thanking Him for all the blessings that He's bestowed in our life. His goodness, His mercy, amen? His forgiveness. Financially, He's blessed us. He's blessed us in so many ways. We just need to be thankful for that. Because He's good. 2 Peter chapter 1. verse 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Is he talking to you? Yes, he is. You've received a faith of the same kind. You've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. He's talking to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted, that word granted there means to bestow gratuitously or to give, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. He has given you. Amen. Hallelujah. Granted to us all these things. Praise the Lord. He's given to us, I think the King James Version says, he's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The word given there is the word doer mie. Means to bestow gratuitously or make a gift of. It's not the usual word for give, but it's one which emphasizes the generosity of the giver. Wiest, in his commentary on the New Testament, says this: Doria Mii is in the perfect tense, which pictures the past completed act of presenting the gift with the present result that it is in the possession of the believer with no strings tied to it. In other words, God gave us these promises in the past with the result continuing to the present. We're not waiting on him to give them. He already has. We just need to take a hold of them and receive them. Amen. No matter what the circumstance we find ourselves in during the course of our life, when we have a relationship with God, then God is on our side. God is on our team. There is no problem, no situation, no circumstance, no relationship, no habit, no compulsion, no sin, no background that can defeat you when God is on your side. Amen? Is God on your side this morning? Yeah, it could have been a whole lot better than that. Amen?
Amen.
Saint Basil said this: as it is impossible to verbally describe the sweetness of honey to one who has never tasted honey, so the goodness of God cannot be clearly communicated by way of teaching if we ourselves are not able to penetrate into the goodness of the Lord by our own experiences. Experience the goodness of God for yourself. Trust him. Amen. That's where it starts. You've got to trust God, trust what his word says, believe him, and be persistent. Don't give up. Even when things aren't changing. Yes, they are. You just haven't seen it in the natural, but God's moving in the spiritual realm. He's bringing things together. He's moving on your behalf. Things are changing. If you've prayed about it, you can rest assured that God is doing something about it.
Amen.
Amen? Because he is good. No other reason. Amen. He's good. He loves you. Praise the Lord. So this week, just want you to think about the goodness of God. We sang about it this morning. But you need to reflect on the times that you've experienced the goodness of God in your life and thank Him for that. Amen? You say, well, I haven't had a lot to be thankful for. Well, yeah, you do. Just think about it. You woke up this morning. Amen? That's one. The older you get, the more thankful you are for that. Amen? You take that for granted when you're younger, but many of us that have this white, grayish hair, thankful for that. Amen? Well, some of us don't have any hair up there, but praise the Lord. The goodness of God, be thankful for the goodness of God. Father God, we thank You and we praise You for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for all the things that You've blessed us with. Your goodness in our lives. The things You've brought us out from. The things You've delivered us from. And Lord, we're thankful for the thing and the place that You're taking us to. And we just thank You for that. We praise You for that. And we give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.